to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. I'm very pleased to say, joined by a man that I have had the privilege of working with and appreciating for a very long time. He is Dr. Mark Schneider. For literally decades, he was the corporate memory inside the Department of Defense, the senior most levels, with respect to nuclear forces, deterrence, and strategy. And he has now assumed the responsibility of a senior analyst with a very highly regarded private sector institution, the National Institute for Public Policy. And I'm delighted to have a chance to talk with him about developments that are taking place now, it seems almost by the day, that suggests that the Russians are increasingly aggressive, not just towards Ukraine, but towards the rest of us, including informs that seem to suggest a new and quite ominous nuclear threat. Dr. Schneider, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. It's always good to have you with us, but especially to discuss this very important topic.
Well, thank you very much for that kind introduction.
Well-deserved. Well-deserved, all of it. But talk about, Mark, if you would, starting right out of the box, this report that the Russians are now overflying waters like the English Channel with nuclear-armed missiles exposed on their long-range bombers. Is this an unprecedented development or just something we haven't seen in a long time, and what do you think it means?
Well, they've been doing nuclear provocations on an increasing scale really since 2007. What makes this report different from the previous ones is that the UK press is saying that there were actually nuclear weapons or a nuclear missile on board the airplane, and it simulated an attack on a UK strategic asset. And if that's true, that would be unprecedented. Now, we do know that just a day or two before that report came out, the British government actually announced that it had called in the Russian ambassador to protest this particular incident, and they didn't go into any detail in relation to what actually happened. But as far as I know, they've never done that before, so that to me suggests that this is a unprecedented incident.
This, of course, in the diplomatic parlance is known as a démarche, what we used to fondly call in the Pentagon, Mark, démarche-mellows. I don't know that it will have any impact on Vladimir Putin, but put it together with kind of the larger pattern of what's taking place here, Mark. You're a serious student of both Russian forces and operations and arms control violations. How would you describe what Putin is about? Is this really lurching now into a new period that may be, in some respects, hotter than the Cold War?
Well, I'm sorry to say a new Cold War is probably the best possible outcome at this point. The alternatives are probably even worse. Putin has, for the first time since the Second World War, annexed territory in Europe by force. That is a major development in and of itself. He's got, in effect, a second war going against the Ukraine right now. It's in the process of escalating. He's making threats to U.S. NATO allies, countries that we have a legal commitment to defend.
A treaty obligation, yeah.
Yes, treaty obligations to defend. And, you know, he may just decide that he needs a splendid little war someplace to get the minds of the Russian people off the economic disaster that he's creating.
Yeah. Mark Schneider, one of the places you mentioned, Ukraine, has been getting some reporting as well that perhaps the Russians are beginning a deployment of nuclear arms into one of those places that they've taken by force, Crimea. Do you credit that as having already happened, or is it something that seems in the works?
Well, clearly it could have already happened. What they announced just a few days ago was that the 12th Maine Directorate of the General Staff, which is the Nuclear Weapons Handling Organization, is sending a unit down to the Crimea. They don't have the manpower to do that, just in case they decide to send nuclear weapons in. I think it's pretty clear that they're already there or they're about to arrive. And this is a major threat development in and of itself. But it's part of a larger picture of Russian activities, which involve very substantial modernizations of the both the strategic and the tactical nuclear forces. Their announced goals are to completely modernize their ballistic missile force by 2021, at both the Navy and the ground-based ICBMs. And in that, this is a time period where we'll do absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Mark, I want to come back to that in a moment, but just staying with the Russians for a second, what is it that makes this particularly worrying, it seems to me, is that you've got a doctrine that Vladimir Putin has embraced that contemplates very explicitly the use of nuclear weapons. In fact, the belief that this could be done decisively as a means of de-escalating a conflict, namely by winning it decisively. Is that correct? And if so, what does it suggest is the real prospect here?
Well, it's actually more than correct. Putin actually drafted the Russian nuclear doctrine back in the late 90s when he was secretary of the Russian National Security Council, and that's sort of the equivalent of the U.S. National Security Advisor. They have unquestionably the lowest nuclear weapons use threshold in the world. They reserve the right to introduce conventional nuclear weapons into conventional warfare on a local and regional basis, and they've been making blatant nuclear threats of various types since 2007. I mean, that includes direct nuclear targeting threats. Putin did that three times, twice in front of the presidents of other countries. Their generals talk about nuclear weapons use all the time. They exercise their forces. They announce things like massive nuclear launch in the May 14th strategic exercise. They announced in 1999 when beginning of the rise of Putin that they used nuclear weapons in the Zapad 1999 exercise. That's the West exercise against NATO, and they've done it in the Pacific exercises as well. And this is now done several times a year.
Yeah, and with the direct involvement, in many cases, of Putin himself. So
this is just an
abstraction that's being conducted by some generals off in a corner. And Mark, just to come back to this, we're not going to have time for this occasion to talk about what the Chinese are doing, but it's similarly ominous, it seems to me. But to turn to the point that you just made, this growing aggressiveness, including of a very explicitly nuclear character on the part of the Russians, is coming at a moment when the president of the United States persists in a policy that can best be described as ridding the world of nuclear weapons, starting with ours. We're not modernizing these forces. How is that entering into the calculations of a guy like Vladimir Putin, do you think?
Well, I think Putin sees the current situation as his window of opportunity, and the only real issue is how far he's going to go. And the decline in the Russian economy, not so much actually from sanctions, but thanks to U.S. oil drillers and the dramatic reduction in the price of oil,
manipulation of the oil prices, yeah. Well, it does enter, I think, what's best described as kind of a witch's brew, and a lot of instability, a lot of potential for miscalculation, and worse, deliberate aggressive behavior on the part of a guy like Vladimir Putin. Mark Schneider, we appreciate tremendously what you have done for our country over many, many decades in the Defense Department, the State Department, elsewhere, now at the National Institute for Public Policy. We look forward very much to your joining us again soon. In the meantime, keep up the great work. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.